Feels so wonderful to be standing here today. So excited about what God has in store for Grace and what God has in store for each one of you. So excited. I heard a story. It was a story about a bored young man. And he decided that life would be more fun if he had a pet. So he went to the pet store and told the owner that he wanted to buy an unusual pet. After some discussion with the store owner, he finally bought a talking centipede. He was intrigued with the centipede because of its multiple legs and feet. It came in a little white box that he was to use for its house. The young boy took the box home and found a spot for the box. He decided he would start by talking to the centipede and inviting him to church. So he asked the centipede, "Will you like to go to church with me today? You would have a good time." But much to his disappointment, there was no answer from his new pet. This bothered him a bit, but he waited a few minutes and then asked again, "How about going to church with me and receiving a blessing?" But again, there was no answer from his new friend. So he waited just a few moments later with persistence. The guy decided to invite the centipede one more time. This time he put his face to the box and he shouted, "Hey, go to church with me. You will have a good time. Can you hear me inviting you to church?" And then he heard a voice. The centipede said, "I heard you the first time, but I had to put my shoes on." Today, I want to pose a question to you today, Grace Community Church. And the question is, why are we here? Why are we here? Now, I'm not talking today about why you are here today, individually sitting in these chairs. But my question is to the church as a whole. Why are you here? Grace Community Church, why? What's the reason that you're here? And I want for a few moments to answer that question. There is a whole lot of reasons, a lot of reasons why people come to church. There's a lot of reasons why people get involved in a community of faith. And they're good reasons. Reasons like, church is a good place to meet people. Church is a healthy component to a healthy, balanced life. Church is a good place to remember we're not alone. Church is a good place to be rooted in order to find support. Church is a good place to be hugged and to feel needed and wanted. Church is a good place for people to come together for causes of justice. Church is a way for the community to just come together. Church is a good place to be saved. As I said, those are good reasons. But I've got to tell you today, it's important for us, Grace, to understand the biblical reasons for church. There is a much deeper reason that we're here in Lathrop as a church. There is something that God intends for us to do. All of those reasons that I mentioned are good reasons. However, they are but pictures, parts of a much larger picture. They're elements of a tapestry that God intends for us, but they are just colors in the painting, and they don't represent the full portrait. Those reasons are pale reflections of what God intends for a church to be. So what are the best reasons for belonging to a church? What are the best reasons that we come together as a church? What are the biblical reasons? Now, let me pause for a moment to say this to you, Grace. We have come through some difficult times. Last several months, we've lost people that we love. But yet, Grace, we are here. I believe that God has kept us here together as a body for a reason. Now I want you to understand this concept. A tree has to be pruned in order to grow and produce fruit. Now, I don't claim to be a farmer, but I'm told that in order for a tree to grow to its full potential, it has to be pruned. Grace Community Church, God has pruned us, and it's time for us to go now to a whole nother level. You have to understand that you don't have to be doing something wrong to be pruned. It is actually when you're doing things right that pruning takes place. So look at it this way. You're pruned if you do, and you're pruned if you don't. You might as well deal with it and let God produce his fruit in you. I heard a story once about a preacher. He met a man at the supermarket, and they began to talk about the things of God. And the preacher said to the man, "Will you help me build my church?" And the man said, "Absolutely, I'll help you build your church." And the pastor said to him, "Okay, meet me tomorrow morning at 7:00. And he gave him the address where to meet him. The man got up early that morning and began to load his truck with saws and hammers and nails and all of his construction tools. And when he arrived at the address at 7:00 and he pulled into the parking lot, he noticed a beautiful church with a steeple, well-built, beautiful sanctuary. And he said to himself, "Has he played a trick on me?" And then when the pastor arrived, he said to him, "You asked me to help you build a church, and I see you have a beautiful edifice here. Have you started without me?" The pastor looked at him and said, "That's just the building. I want you to help me build a church. I want you to know today I stopped by to tell you, and I'm going to stay here and keep telling you that this is just a building. This is not the church. You have to understand that these four walls can easily be turned into a pool hall. They can easily be turned into a bowling alley. But even if they change the interior of this building, we are still the church." Church, Grace, we need to do something that can be very uncomfortable for us. We need to change. Change can be intimidating and challenging because of the very nature of the word. The word change means to become or make different. We have reached a great crossroads as a church. We have come to the stop sign, and we have paused for the cause. We have looked right, and we have looked left, and we have considered the will of God. And now we must not just sit and be idle, but we should rather put the pedal to the metal. It's time now to drive. It's time now to go to the highways and hedges and compel people to come. In our limited human understanding, we often find ourselves putting God in a box and limiting him. But the word of God tells us that we serve a God who is unlimited. He is unlimited in power. He is unlimited in capability. He is unlimited in knowledge. He is unlimited in compassion. He's unlimited in grace. He's unlimited in holiness. There is no limit. We cannot put God in a box. It's been said that trying to understand the fullness of God is like trying to put the Pacific Ocean in a glass of water. It can never happen, and it will never be possible. We will never truly understand God fully. Now, how is it possible, we think in our human minds, that he is three persons at once? How is it that he began with nothing and created everything? We can't fathom that in our human minds. Only by faith do we believe. How could he have created the whole world in just a few days? So I say to you, Grace, why try to understand God? But there just comes a point where we have to stop trying to understand him and put our hands up and worship him and say, Lord, you are magnificent. You are beyond my understanding. You are beyond my comprehension. And I bow down to you and I pray to you because you have the answer. Somebody ought to clap this morning. Yes, yes, it is indeed hard to imagine and basically impossible to truly fathom God's whole being and person. Yet we can trust that God is indeed limitless, both in power and in his love for us. That is the message that we need to give to the world. The world is lost. The world is without hope. But we have the hope, we have the knowledge, and we serve a God who can do everything and anything. And that is the good news that we should share. We will realize how much we should never be afraid to do anything when we realize who we serve. Now here is the question. Why did God establish his church? Why are we here? For what purpose did he establish this spiritual organization on earth? What is our mission? As we live in this world, do we have an obligation to the world around us? Since we are called to serve Jesus, what is our obligation as temporary citizens of this world? For those of you that have kids and can remember leaving them at home alone, whether it was for an hour or even for a whole day, you made it very plain and you understand that the most important thing that you wanted them to remember was the very last words you said to them. How many of you remember these? I love you. Remember, do your homework. I love you. Don't forget to do the dishes and clean your room. I love you. But while I'm gone, no parties. And don't burn the house down. Let us take some time and look into the scriptures and discover the last words that Jesus left to his kids before he left the earth. His last words can be found in Mark 16 and 15. He said to them, let me explain, them was the disciples. So you might say that wasn't to me because I'm not a disciple. But I want you to understand, by definition, you are a disciple. Disciple, the word disciple refers to a follower of Jesus. All of you that are believers, you are a disciple. So he said to us, to Grace Community Church, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, to all creation. Whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whosoever believeth not will be condemned. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm reading your minds in the spirit, and you're saying in your mind, I'm not a preacher. I stopped by to tell you today, you are a preacher and you are a disciple. The word preacher just means one who proclaims the word of God. Every one of you ought to be preachers. Every one of you ought to be going into the world and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like what he said in Matthew 28, 18 through 19. Listen. It says, Jesus. The reason it's then Jesus, because something preceded this scripture. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Somebody say go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that is the Great Commission. That is what Jesus left. That was his last instructions before he left us, for us to go into all the world. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save those which are lost. As his body and his representatives on earth, the church's top priority is what Christ's top priority was, and that is saving lost souls. We have got to understand that there are many organizations and agencies in the world that can feed the hungry. There's a lot of organizations that can shelter the homeless. There's a lot of organizations, non-Christian-based organizations, that can provide association for the lonely and even comfort the widows and orphans. All of those things are very important, and we should all take part in it. But I want you to know that out of all of those important things, there is only one organization that has the message of salvation. That is the Church of God. 1 Timothy 3 and 15 declares that only the church of the living God is the pillar and support of the truth. Look at what Ephesians 3 and 10 says. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his internal purpose that he has accomplished in Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's our responsibility. No other organization can tell and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want nobody else doing my job. I don't want nobody else doing your job, because you're the only one equipped to spread the gospel of Jesus. Listen, I don't know law. I've never studied law. So therefore, I can't advise anybody in law. I'm not a painter. As a matter of fact, my wife would tell you I'm not even a good painter. But I am a child of God. I can't paint. I can't practice law. But I can do my job as a child of God. I can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every one of you, that is your marching orders. That is what God has placed you here. That is why you are here. To help spread the word of God. Grace family, we have three things to consider concerning our reasons for being here. It is our mission. We have to consider our mission. We have to consider our method. And we have to consider our motivation. Now, our mission is clear. We live sent by Jesus, a letter to others, helping people discover their lives in Christ. That's our mission. Our method is straightforward. Our method is to take whatever God has given us and use it for his kingdom. I often tell you that you are all here for a reason. Not one of you is here by accident. God knew that you would be sitting where you're sitting today, even before you were born. That very seat that you're sitting in, God saw it in the future. God knew that you would be on the fifth row, the second seat from the right. God saw it. Nothing is an accident. God knew that you would hear this message today, and God knew that he would perk your heart to get about his business and begin to go out to the highways and hedges to seek people for God. I'm rushing to a close. Now, motivation is often where we struggle. We ask ourselves, why should I do this? Why should I get out of my comfort zone to share the word of God? I say to you, it's because that is our great commission. Now, I know those of you that are in sales, the Great Commission is 25% of the gross. That's a good commission, but it's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In closing, I want to tell you a story, or I want to give you an analogy. I've been working out, can you tell? And in my working out, I started running. I've always loved to run. I run now 2 miles every morning. I get up early in the morning and I run a route that I have pre-planned. I know the route. I am accustomed to the route because I've ran it over and over again. While running the route, because I'm familiar with it, I know where all the dogs are. They're dogs that charge the fence and bark as I run by. But it does not surprise me because I know the route. I know where to watch for cars. I know where all the potholes are. I am accustomed to the run. And because I've ran it so many times now, it has become easy. Sometimes I knock out the 2 miles before I even realize it. When I first started running it, I'd be pouring with sweat. Now I don't even sweat anymore because I am used to the run. But one morning, I decided to stretch myself. I decided to do something different. So I started on the 2 mile run. And when I got to the 2 mile point, something inside of me told me I can go further. And I began to run in areas that I had not mapped out. I didn't know where the dangers was. I didn't know where the dogs were going to charge the fence. I didn't know where the potholes was. But I tell you, as I began to run, people probably thought I was crazy because I was talking to myself. My mouth was moving. Now, my mouth was moving because I was talking to God. Not because I was running, but I find that a good time where I could communicate with God. So while I'm on this run, I'm talking to God and I'm stretching myself, going outside of my comfort zone. And before I knew it, I was back home. And when I looked at my watch, I realized that I had ran 3.5 miles. Why are you telling us that this morning, Don? I'm telling you because it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. It's time for us to run to uncharted territories. It's time for us to run. Yes, the dogs are going to hit the fence. But know that God has built a fence all around us. And he's going to keep us safe. You have to stretch yourself. And while you're running, run talking to God, and I guarantee you if you let him order your steps, I guarantee you that if you run the race. Now, while I was running, now I run slow. I don't run fast. I run for endurance, not for speed. But while I was running, some stranger that I didn't even know yelled out the window, "Is that as fast as you can go?" I wanted to say to them, this is the response that I wanted to give them. Excuse me, but the race is not given to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, but it is him that endureth to the end. In closing, Grace, it's time. It's time to run. It's time to work. It's time to roll up your sleeves and be about God's business. It's time to stretch yourself and go into unknown territory. That unknown territory is called the highways and hedges. You'll find that unknown territory in Lathrop. You'll find it in Manteca. You'll find it in Tracy. You'll find it in our surrounding communities, in the hospitals. How many of you are ready to run? How many of you are ready to be about God's business? Come on, give God a hand praise. Would you stand with me all over the church? Just bow your heads. Dear Father, we're here once again, standing under the shadows of the cross. We're a church that's ready to be about your business. A church now that realizes why we are here. Help us, Lord, as we stretch ourselves and, Lord, we reach this community. We reach the surrounding cities. Lord, we want Grace to be more than just a building on 850 J Street. I want Grace to be like a pack of lifesavers. Saving lives, but in the package, all kind of colors, all kind of flavors, but one big pack of love and goodness and sweetness. That's our prayer. Bless us from this day forward to be about your business. In Jesus' name, the whole church, if you agree with me, just say amen. Amen. Amen.